Father, I thank you for the insight that you're giving me so that I can take your people right to your face and they can compare you to you inside them. Dear wonderful Lord, if you're lifted up, then you'll draw all men unto you. And Jesus, we give you honor here this morning in your wonderful word. Guide my lips to say the right thing. For this week you've spoken a lot to me. I've been overwhelmed at your wonderful presence in my life. The things that you've given me to share with your people today, may they look at them not the words of a man, but the words that the Holy Spirit has brought life to the scriptures of your holy written word. It has to be Logos spoken to us so that we can rhema what your Logos speaks. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 6. There's a reason why I divinely went this way, so accept it. Believe me, I'm hearing the voice of God. Again, we're holding our giving until last. Because I want you to give with fresh insight. How many of you know that example always speaks louder than just words? How many of you know that? You know, I can preach something, but if I don't live what I preach, then it will literally not have any value in your life. I've been accused not living what I preach, but I don't care. They accused Jesus of not fulfilling the law. Doesn't matter. But I do know one thing. Example is very important to people. So much so that if someone gives the wrong example, that can also be a great hindrance, especially to the body of Christ. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I've learned over the years of my own ministry that my own thinking has always been governed by another person's example. But I thank God that He kept a softness about my heart with men's examples that I knew were wrong. Because over the years, you develop that inner witness, that inward witness. And so a lot of times, examples can throw you off course. So much so that you'll pick up an attitude from somebody else's example and run with it, not and thinking that it's God. You know, I could have had an attitude about praying in tongues simply because the Christians that were tongue talkers, their example was sheer stupidity. But it didn't cause me to create an attitude against the issue of tongues. I left my attitude with the people that were wrong examples. But I kept the desire of tongues in my heart. And I knew that there was a separate act of the operation of the Holy Spirit in my life. I just knew it. Needless to say, in my heart, I had developed an attitude towards the kingdom of God and giving. And didn't even know it was there. This last week, God got alone with me. And He began to show me in my actions how I was opposed in giving. And it was all out of the example of the teachers today that are teaching us prosperity. and I repented. And I'm going to tell you, people, change, true repentance, opens up whole new insight that you've never seen before. It does. You know, attitude can blind us on not seeing what truth is. But when I sat in that place of purging, God took me to this scripture over in Ephesians chapter 3. Matter of fact, let's go there first. And let me quote you this scripture. And he spoke to me this week out of one man's teaching on love. Doug Jones, Harold. And, you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of doing what another man preaches justice by speaking it directly to your heart. You know. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. It says to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Actually, in the Greek, it's to become mighty. In the Greek, it says to become mighty through the spirit of him in the inward man. This verse has the definite article before spirit and before inward man, which literally unites the spirit with the inward man. Meaning, are you ready? That he would strengthen me according to his dunamis, the spirit of the new birth that is in my inward man, the spirit of Christ that's in me. Now, it's got a capital S on there, but it should be a small s. It's the power of the new birth. How did I come up with that conclusion? I don't have time to go to the verses before and after, but he's definitely talking about the new birth. Because he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ dwelling in my hearts is the Spirit of Christ. Are you following me? His life and nature given to me. Now follow me. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Notice, in love. You may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes, look at this. Which passes your understanding. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What I'm about ready to share with you in Revelation today, it's as a result of me having that word spoke to me during that conference there at Rhema. Hallelujah. Remember how good Doug Jones was? I got that tape. I'm going to memorize it. But he said the body of Christ is ready for a baptism of love. It's going into that realm and it's never going to leave, and you're going to see the power of God flow as never before. And you and I are going to be held accountable. Right. Now listen, he says the Spirit of Christ that was given us is how we're going to be able to comprehend all four sides of what God is. Yeah. And I said to God in my heart, I said, God, I desire to know about the heart of your love. I want to go into the realm of your love. I want to go into the realm of your love. I want to know you. I want to know you in a deeper and fuller way. And you know something? What's very interesting? How many of you can truthfully say that God is in you? Amen. Oh, I hope you can say that. It's in the Spirit of Christ. Are you ready? I've heard a lot of religious statements. Well, I just don't know how to love, but it's God in me that loves. I've heard that many times. God said, that is so sick. It's escaping responsibility of maturity into the presence of God's love. And here's what God says. What good would it do for me to climb on the inside of you so that I could love myself? He says, I crawl on the inside of you so I can take you, the person that you are, to a place where I can inherit your uncompromised love. Your uncompromised love for me. Paul. And he said, now I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to break a mystery for you, Jan, about the tithe and the offering. He started breaking it, and I started preaching it to Aaron and Harold. And I got so excited. You know, when you get excited, it's got to come out. You know, that which he tells you in secret, he says, look for a housetop to shout it from. We went over to Dave's. Dave was standing in his shorts. Just came out of a meeting. We got there late. And I walked in there and I started sharing this with Dave. Simply so that I'd bounce it off somebody who I considered real sharp at what I was sharing. And he looked at me and he looked stunned. I didn't realize the impact of what I was giving. He gave him and Gary Carpenter a mandate to break Hebrews 7. Over the last year, I'd say more than ever, I've been challenged. I've been listening to a lot of different ministers and different perspectives, but I wasn't settled in my heart about the issue of the tithe and offering. But a repentance took place in my heart so that I could go into the love of God, because that's how I comprehend and interpret how the Father, through His Son, speaks to me. Dave said, the minute I said what I said, his mind began to go down to about 8 different roads. And I shared with him the complete understanding of the tithe and the offering. He went home that night and said he couldn't sleep. My words were going through him. Next day we went to Luby's for lunch, and we were sitting there at the table. And of course, I've already preached this to Harold and Aaron, you know, and Rosalie goes, hey, Dave, tell Butler the revelation you got. And I looked at Dave, and when you say the revelation you got, I'm there with both dog ears. Dave looked at me and said, I got the revelation of what you said. He said, you're right. Are you guys ready for the responsibility of a revelation? Are you ready? You think they're ready? I'll tell you what. What I would share with you, I'm still wondering if I'm ready. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 6. How many of you know that even though I had been hearing, even what I felt was a greater revelation, and it is, on money. One thing that the inward witness would not let go is the tithe and the offering. Malachi kept coming back to me. So the people I were gravitating towards for insight made it even more difficult for me to bring that understanding. So I felt led to lay off on teaching on money. Until recently, I felt the freedom to do so. Which brought up another question that I'm about ready to tell you. How many of you remember I gave you the example of the covenant and that God stopped me on preaching on covenant. You know why he did? I'll tell you why. Because most of my examples was incorrect on the teaching of covenant, and I didn't have an answer how to correctly teach on covenant. So he left it alone until I got to a place in my understanding of the scriptures of God's word. He could take me back to covenant understanding for a greater blessing of it. It was kind of like the sovereignty of God. I tried to teach that thing, and it died on the vine because no one was able to receive it. And God finally came to me and said, well, you don't understand it totally yourself. I'm going to wait until a certain man who has the insight come into your life through a book. And when you read that, you'll understand it. And I still don't feel released to even preach what I've learned from him. Because you have to have your natural soul meditated in areas that you would understand how to put certain things together. How many understand what I'm talking about? And until you have all those components in place, you can't make a whole out of something. Well, I began to get all the components in place, so much so on covenant, I decided I'm going to just start preaching it. It'll just get clearer and clearer out of my heart, and I did. And then I ended up getting confirmation, praise God, by a man whom I highly respect. Now, he's going to teach it to his church. And I told him his church will then start coming out of debt. His people will, and his church will. That's why he told me that I'm going to place you under an anointing on money. That not only will this church come out of debt, but you'll come out also for your own personal life. Because the anointing is not for a minister. The anointing is for God's people. And the minister is just a part of that anointing. So I'm going to boldly declare to you today that the tithe is not done away with. It is not done away with. The tithe is attached to the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is the covenant of our inheritance. Are you ready? The Abrahamic covenant is the only covenant that does not have a curse added to it.
True. Hallelujah.
If you want to add a curse to it, you would say this: whoever curses you, Abraham, they will be cursed. If you want to put a curse to it. But you know, that's to Abraham's advantage. Now I understood why, once that covenant was cut, I understood Noah. Did you know Noah had cut a covenant after the flood? Did you know that? But did you notice that these men, the Noahic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant, these men in that covenant, are you ready for this? Noah, what was his problem? What was Noah's problem? He was an alcoholic. Oh, yeah. He was an alcoholic. You know, what's different is that when God puts a blessing on somebody and the person is not operating in righteousness, how does that fit? Here's another one. What about Abraham, who we've inherited that covenant through sonship? What about Abraham? What was he bound by? Well, he wasn't an alcoholic, but I'll tell you what, he was bound by fear and lying. He was a liar. And God approaches this Gentile king, this heathen man who was worshiping him, and said, listen, I forgot his name. He says, the woman you're with is Abraham's wife. Now, Abraham got him into this position because God approached him and said, I'm going to kill you. Wouldn't that get your attention? Why are you going to kill me, Lord? All I ever do is talk to you and pray and everything. Because the woman Abraham had given you is not his sister, it's his wife. So you give her back to Abraham, and Abraham will pray for you. Have you ever wondered about that? How in the world is Abraham getting away with it? Because the Abrahamic covenant was cut between Abraham and Christ for one purpose only, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the whole world, the Gentile as well as the Jew alike. Now, I never saw this, but each covenant is progressive. Each covenant is progressive. And so, being progressive, the first few covenants that are mentioned is, first of all, the covenant of Eden, which where God had cut covenant with Abraham that would allow him to have dominion on earth over all of everything that God created and the strength to keep it and the power of it. Provided he did not do something called partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, you know he broke that. Then he ushered in the Adamic covenant. Well, the Adamic covenant, what people don't understand about that particular covenant is get over here. The Adamic covenant was after the fall, after sin. And it the reason that that benefit that came on Adam and his family was to preserve them after the fall. It was to preserve them. That's why we call it the covenant that covered the Adams family. So the Edenic covenant was before the fall. The Adamic covenant was after the fall. And then we come up with the Noahic covenant. This was to benefit Noah and his family by reason of the flood. Because after the flood, all creation, man and beast, benefited from this covenant. Are you following me? But all these covenants had a curse on it. But when it came to the Abrahamic covenant, this particular covenant didn't have a curse added to it. Now, I want you to understand what God is. God is a covenant-making God. God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a covenant-revealing God. God is a covenant-enabling God. Now, why make a covenant? Well, to provide a binding sense of commitment to an interpersonal relationship. It provides a strong sense of security on the one that needs to benefit from the contract. Is that a lie? Marriage is still in existence today in covenant relationship. Male, female. Okay? Now, what does a covenant constitute? Well, it constitutes three things, people. Here it is. Number one, God giving us a word or promise of that covenant. God giving us a word or promise of that covenant. Number two, the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant. And then, of course, number three would be what? Wouldn't it be the seal of the covenant? The seal of a covenant. Now, I'm going to be bold to say this right now. Did you know today we're not standing in a covenant that requires a curse that could come on us because we don't do something right? That is not the covenant we stand on today. The covenant we stand on today is called inheritance. We have inherited a covenant. And here's what we've inherited in covenants. Are you ready? We have inherited the Abrahamic covenant and all of its blessings and responsibilities. Are you ready? By entering into the new and greater covenant called sonship. So in order for the new and better covenant to have a blessing, then it had to have been as an inheritance of what God constituted from the Abrahamic covenant. Now, why was it done that way? Because we're still capable of breaking covenant. So God had to create a covenant that would bring the blessing on the New Testament believer who's walking in the new covenant. Are you following? Because he succeeded with Abraham and himself in the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham did his part in the Abrahamic covenant and died and went on home to be with the Father. Jesus fulfilled his part on the cross. So on the cross, Jesus not only completed the Mosaic covenant, but he also completed his part to the Abrahamic covenant, which we inherit. We inherit all the blessings. It's a last will and testament. Did you know if me and my wife was to die, we would leave an inheritance to our children? Did you know what? It would have stipulations on it of responsibility. Why? Because we're freely giving them the blessing, but we can also attach responsibility to that inheritance. Do you know that's true? Now, you ready? What has always been confusing to people is why, and this is one thing that Dave said, why was perfection of what he was talking about in Hebrews 7, why did he use the tithe as an example of perfection? Well, did you notice he said the Levites, they couldn't give to God and get a blessing. He had to go back to the loins of Abraham to receive the blessing of that covenant. So let me ask you this. Let's read this. Hebrews 7 here. Now notice this. Watch this. For this Melchizedek, 7:1, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, of whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they who are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the what? Law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, which was Melchizedek. And blessed him that had the promise, that is Abraham. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less being Abraham, and the better being Melchizedek. And here men that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And that's where Dave wanted to know, how does that fit in the scheme of things? And I found the answer. Glory to God. Didn't know I had it in me, but I had it in me. Let me ask you something about the Mosaic covenant. What was the purpose of drawing up the covenant? It said the reason God drew up the Mosaic covenant, because the Abrahamic covenant could not have a curse added to it. So when the Abrahamic covenant, which was already consummated 400 and some 30 years before the Mosaic covenant was ever drawn up, when God drew up the Mosaic covenant, it paralleled the Abrahamic covenant. Are you following what I'm saying? It paralleled it, and that the nation of Israel was commanded to operate in the fullness of the Abrahamic covenant, just like they were commanded to in the Mosaic covenant. But here's the thing. The only reason that he even drew up the Mosaic covenant was by reason of their transgression. They didn't know what was right from wrong, including Abraham. And so what God did is when he drew up the covenant of the law, he says, no man can keep it. Well, thank God a remnant did find out that no man could keep it. They looked to the cross for the fullness of that, for the fullness of the Mosaic law begin to work in them. But have you ever wondered why tithing was not taught in the New Testament? Wasn't necessary. Why? It's well documented in the Old Testament. Even the nation of Israel knew the tithe was not done away with because it belonged to the Abrahamic covenant. Hello? We inherited that covenant. It's not a covenant of cursings. It's a covenant of what?
Blessing.
Say it real loud.
Blessing.
There's no curse added to it. Why? Because the inheritance of that covenant is what we benefit from while we're on planet Earth until the new and everlasting covenant is brought in to play.
Yep.
Are you ready? Do you know where we could start Galatians? It goes down the line. You've inherited this from Abraham. You inherited that from Abraham. Right on down the line. Now follow me real close. A covenant, a revocable covenant, is one in which God obligates himself and man breaks it, leaving God with no obligation to fulfill it on his part. It's dissolved, disannulled, it no longer remains in effect. Why? He doesn't have another party to work with it. The new covenant is sonship. You can make all kinds of mistakes, and guess what? God will work with you because of the riches of his grace and mercy. Why? You're now his son. And he's going to do everything to see to it you come into your inheritance and the responsibility of it by the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God which is in you that gives you the capacity to know what God is all about. He took the law, the curse, and now he writes it on the tablets of heart, and then he takes the Word of God and points it right back to the inheritance that came from the Abrahamic covenant, and along with the Abrahamic covenant, we also got responsibility that goes with it. Now, why is the tithe brought up with the Abrahamic covenant and none of the other covenants? Why? Did you know that Adam wasn't commanded to give a tenth? And neither was Noah, neither was David, but David participated in the tithe. Right up to Malachi. The tithe is still mentioned, and there's a principle of Malachi that does belong to us. It is the tithe and offerings, the means to pour the blessing out on us. And if we don't use the means of that, guess what? A curse could come into play. Oh, Pastor, now you said the Abrahamic covenant doesn't have a curse. Right. But spiritual death automatically comes with a curse attached to it. So when we get born again, we're no longer held captive by spiritual death. We now have spiritual life, which enables us to fulfill what the Abrahamic covenant responsibilities are. So what curse do we encounter when we don't bless God? Here's the curse. That we remove the means for Him to pour the blessing out on us. And if we get that straight, guess what? He says he'll go ahead and rebuke the devourer for our sake. New Testament, you know how he gets rid of the devil? It's the devil that does a work within our heart to rob God of what's due him.
Right. Yep.
Now here's the blessing. The blessings of God does come through the tithe and the offering. Why is the Abrahamic covenant attached to the tithe? Are you ready? Because of priesthood. The Edenic, the Noahic, are you ready? Didn't have any priests. Therefore, God sustained them personally. When the Abrahamic covenant was drawn up, God ordained priesthood in the earth. And the first priest was Melchizedek. He was a man, people. People go and say, oh, he's a pre-incarnate Christ. No man has descended above, that is, to come down from above. No man has. He was just a man that didn't have a traceable genealogies. He was a type of Christ that was to come. Just like the Bible says. Don't read something in there that ain't there. And see how great this Melchizedek was that he decided to give a tithe to Melchizedek. Why do you think Abraham was instructed to give a tenth to Melchizedek? Because it was the first priesthood established in the earth. Here that men, mortal men that die, receive the money. But God receives the witness of your giving to them. Why? Because they're the ones that you have to take care of on planet earth while God is increasing His kingdom. That is called the responsibility of the tithe. Well, what if I don't partake of the tithe or the offering? Guess what? The same mind that doesn't partake of the tithe and the offering is the same mind that has not been delivered by the Word of God through sonship. Why? Here's where your blessing comes from. Your blessing comes from God allowing you to reap 100% of your income so you can take a portion of that to give it to sustain the priests that are in the earth. Somebody said, but are you telling me then if I don't participate in the tithe and the offering, I'm cursed? You're already cursed. Why? Because somehow Satan has gotten into your heart just like he's gotten into my heart. And he has. No more. I'm free of it now. Are you ready? Well then, Pastor, here's where the anointing comes from. You've been wondering, a lot of you say, "Why, Pastor, when are we going to know about the anointing? How to get me under the anointing?" I said, do you really want to know? I'm going to ask you something. Does not the Bible say that a man that's blessed is a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only is blessed? I was a hearing. I wasn't a doing. Matter of fact, I was doing my part in the tithe. Oh, isn't that so sweet of you? But I wasn't coming to the fullness, a full cycle of my giving. You should be able to also partake of an offering. Well, where does the offering come from your 90%? Well, how do I know that I got an offering in my 90%? Because you're probably only living off about 20% of it. The rest is interest back to you from God because He's beginning to multiply something in your life. So it's nothing for you to give out of 90% of your income an offering when it's needed. The tithe belongs to the local church. The offering belongs to the body of Christ. And it can be the local church. Well then, Pastor, how do I get under the anointing? Here's how you get under the anointing. Performance. But what if I can't give a tithe? Start with what you have. There's where 2 Corinthians comes in. Remember in the Old Testament about the Omer that was commanded that everyone go out and gather? And many could gather even more beyond what they needed to live off of. And there was a lot that could not gather as whole. They lacked. But it says when they brought it to the priest, it was distributed evenly so that those that even had lack and couldn't gather as much benefited from those who could gather more. Glory to God that there be an equality in the kingdom of God. You want the anointing to start working in your money? Here's how it starts working. Number one, obey the Word of God. Number two, are you ready? Number two, put action to your giving. And if you only have a penny, believe in the penny because Jesus Christ and Abraham paid the price for your freedom of grace and mercy on your money. And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 it talks about what seed you do have. So that not giving to get. That's what we preach. You don't give to get something out of God. How many of you heard me say that? I give now to get something out of God. Why? Because my heart's been sanctified to give it back to God. Glory to God. You know what covenant is? I'll tell you about covenant. Covenant requires a separation. It's mentioned in circumcision. It's mentioned on how He drew the covenant up with Abraham. He said, you take these animals, cut them right in half. He did, and He separated them. Why? Because covenant requires a sanctification. Now, you know the Abrahamic covenant? He was commanded that the turtle dove and the pigeons not be cut in half. I said, God, what did that represent? He said, the turtle dove represents the Holy Ghost and the pigeons represent their nature, the soul. Are you ready? He says, I want to keep them intact. That's why he was commanded. It's all typology. So when God sanctifies our heart, we're able to perform his word. So when I start with what little I have in my hand, there's where the blessings will begin to fall. And you don't have to worry about the tithe. Why? He'll take you beyond that to the offering. It's a gradual thing. You have to work into it. But the proving of God is in the action you give for what you do have, not what you don't have. Amen. How many of us started out having the tithe to give? I didn't. But God was prompting me to give something so I could just pass a blessing out. And told me not to pay attention to what they're taught, this hundredfold return crap. Oh, I'm sorry. Garbage. The hundredfold return comes out of a heart that's not truly submitted to God. Well, we've had examples of priests after your money so they could clothe themselves in fine clothing, drive big cars, and rent Cadillacs to show you how God will bless His kingdom if you give into it. In the meantime, you reduce yourself from a house to a parking lot. I don't think so. Because the only way I can receive the fullness of your tithe is that it's sanctified first so God can bless it. I'm not going to put a curse on your giving. Oh, what happens if is a curse on me? No. No. God will even take care of you while you're living in the curse of your own thinking. God will live with you. He'll see to it you get food. He'll take care of you. He did that with the nation of Israel. But I'll tell you what, God wants you to get to a place where you purpose in your heart that you're going to allow Him to multiply what seed that you do have to sow. And that's where the anointing begins to fall. It's on your action. On a change of heart and putting action. Listen, change of heart, if it doesn't have action, you haven't gone the complete cycle of your heart. Because the makeup of your heart is spirit, soul, and body. That's why it says when you stand before God, are you going to see to it that your heart has been sanctified holy? Spirit, soul, body. Thessalonians there. Remember I brought that out? You're going to have to give an account of God why you didn't store up treasure in heaven. And I'll tell you what. He even says a bad steward won't even have treasure on earth. He won't have nothing. I said, well, I don't want to be like that. You know, I used to say, John Cook and I, we used to say, how can these guys be blessed? Well, they were under ministers that wanted their almighty dollar and they gave out of more out of fear or what they had to do or they get a curse on them. God's purpose of the tithe and the offering is specifically for the church. But the abundance of the blessing, the windows of heaven opening up, that is for you. Why? We need the tithe and the offering to operate on. Carol and I, we figured it out one day. I can't remember how we figured it out, but one day we figured up so many family units that if everybody in this church tithe, we came to the conclusion we could get out of debt.
That's right. You only have about $13,000.
Yeah. Are you following me? But do you know what we're afraid of?
The pastor can get my almighty dollar. He's after it. He's putting law on me.
Hey, don't give it then. Why? Because God doesn't want filthy lucre. He doesn't want money that's stained with a perverted heart. You know, every one of you could tithe today. We'd be blessed by it, but you wouldn't. Why? Because your heart's not right in your giving with God. We couldn't put a blessing on it if we wanted to, because only God can put a blessing on your giving. It is an attitude of your heart He wants. Look, you're free. You don't even have to tithe. You're free. Why? Jesus paid. Abraham did his job. Jesus did his part. Now you have a wealth of that inheritance now given to you. Guess what? The Holy Ghost, the seal of your inheritance, now has to show you how to operate in it. He's shown me. And today, my first example before you, and I am going to be an example before this body, and not just another minister, I'm going to start putting my seed to count right now. Off of the revelation I gave you, because you know what? I believe that this seed will be multiplied back to me so that I can give more into the kingdom of God. There ain't nothing in this seed that I care to clothe myself with. God will see to that. I'm saying this seed right here will multiply back to me so I can have a true return on my giving, which is seeing people saved through the ministry. Seeing people come to light and revelation through the ministry. To see people born again. To see the lights turned off. To see our debt cleared. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. To see me blessing Jerry and Tammy and my staff with the best I can bless them with. Hallelujah. Why? So that when people in this ministry who truly need help, I got an abundance of it to throw on them. Hallelujah. Yes. The world offers a lotto system. I'll tell you what. Within the church, we can have not a lotto system, but we can have a bank which will bless this body back that is in need. But it takes all of us working collectively together to make it work. I'm going to quit being a thief and a robber. I don't want God to ever stop blessing me ever again. And what seed I got, I can put it in confidence in that offering. Simply because I know this is how the anointing will flow on my performance. Blessed are they that not only hear, but do. Bring the buckets forward. I hope I convicted some of you here today. You know, one person came up and I didn't know about the tithe. Matter of fact, I just had revelation it was done away with. And I understood the heart of the thing. But they turned to me and said, "Now, tell me frankly." He got right back. "Tell me, is the tithe done away with?" And I went, "No!" And I didn't even know I was right. I look back on it, I was prophetic. Now listen, if you want an envelope, please raise your hands. Yes, I'll give you one right now so you can make out your giving. I'll tell you, every one of you ought to give something. God will bless anything you give. Why? Because it's how you release your faith. You know, somebody says, "Well, Pastor, I don't expect God to just bail me out. I don't expect God to just rain money out of heaven." I'm going to tell you about how the blessing comes. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you how the blessing comes. If you do what God tells you to do, God will do His part supernaturally for you. Are you ready? Listen to me. The woman with the cruse, a little bit of flour and a cruse of oil. There was a drought. And did you know that God spoke to Isaiah, was it? Huh? Or was it Elijah? He said, "I want you to go down this woman... her and her son, they're going to mix their last cake. And they're going to go down. Why don't you go down there and command her to give her last cake to you?" And I said, "Okay." So he come down. And the testimony of the woman, "How much oil you got? How much cake you got there?" He said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to mix it all together and give it to me." And the widower said, "What are you, crazy or something?" I found out to obey God, you have to do it by faith. Yes. Oh, yeah. And because she trusted in the prophet, she says, "All right." And that doggone barrel wouldn't quit. Amen. Why? It was supernatural. Yes. Jesus. Did you know Jesus was not ever confronted with giving of his tithe? Because God said He gave of His tithe. He followed the blessing of Abraham. Are you following me? You know where Jesus got convicted? By those that are looking on. How come you don't pay your taxes? So you know what Jesus said? He'd give us an example. "Peter, go on down there and the first fish you grab out of the lake, pull the money out of it and we'll pay." Can you imagine Peter going, "What?" Now, you and I, we'd have to know what type of fish he's talking about, how long we got to be down there, what kind of bait to use, what you know... Peter said, "All right." He said it. He went down there and grabbed that one fish and opened it up. And sure enough, there's the money. Can you imagine the shocked look on his face? You know why God did it that way? To show you that God's love passes your knowledge, people. If you seem to think that you ain't got the anointing working on your behalf because you gave something, you're not trusting in the covenant of God that He gave you as an inheritance. The only thing you have to do is perform. By faith. That's all. The Mosaic said, do and therefore live. While the New Covenant says, receive life, therefore you will do. Yeah. Father, right now, as we get ready to pass these buckets, Father, as we begin to sow, I want an envelope here. Or a record. Father, as we begin to sow our tithes and our offerings, Father, I know that as I put this money into this envelope, the whole purpose of this is to bless the ministry with this. Hallelujah. But also, Father, this is a means through which the blessing will come back on me as I perform and do your will. And so, Father, I commend you for the anointing that's on this seed. And I'm telling, now listen, people, I'm telling you, not by law, but by obedience. Because you're going to feel like you're under law. But you have to start in some kind of obedience somewhere. There's no instruction you have to start off with the full tithe. There is no teaching in there. It just says that you can graduate in any part of your life. The money is no different than anything else. You've got to gravitate into it. But here's the thing. Prove God if I will not perform. You're going to start seeing wisdom come out of you in your giving. Wisdom will start flowing out of you. Instead of sitting there waiting for something to fall out of heaven, wisdom will start working on your behalf. A clearness in your mind you've never dreamed of. And a peace and a love. Money will start coming in. And God told me, He says, get them under that anointing. And He says, I'll do the rest. I didn't want to preach this. And God says, it's because you don't trust me. Because you're not doing it yourself. I need a pen. Oh, I got one. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah, you can share something.
You cannot. Well, let's say this a little softer. God loves you. Let's start.
That'll work.
But we, when I started giving my full tithe, okay, I had to purpose in my heart to start somewhere. I did not start at a full tithe. I started giving a little. But first, I had to look at what a full tithe was. Without the knowledge of what the full tithe was, Pastor.
Go ahead. What's that?
A pen.
Oh, I wrote it in pencil. Carol won't erase it.
If you don't have an idea of what the goal is in your tithe, you will not reach it. You've got a purpose there. You've got to set it out in front of you to where you can see it and grab a hold of it to draw it into your heart. If you don't draw it in and receive it, it won't ever be there for you. It's now exciting for me to give my tithe. And I am working to the goal of getting the offering that God set for me in my heart. That I'll be able to give the offering to wherever God lays it on my heart to give that offering. Whether it be this church's needs that aren't being met by the others of this congregation, or whether it's to give it to another ministry that is blessing the body of Christ in the whole. But until the one revelation I have is that if I am not giving my full tithe to this local body, I cannot give an offering somewhere else. Because God can't receive it.
Oh man, I wish you hadn't gotten into that area yet.
I'm sorry. It just, you've got to give your full tithe here. Before you go out in the world and minister to the world.
Quit preaching ahead of me here.
Each of us have an opportunity to give, whether you're paid weekly, monthly, biweekly, whatever. But we need to prepare our heart in bringing that offering to this church. If you prepare your heart, that offering's ready to give every service into that. And we aren't taking time as ushers, which I feel real strongly, We aren't taking time to hand out envelopes. You guys are begging them from us at the back before
Praise
God.
That's good.
Before we even have a chance to say, do you want one? You're saying, give me my offering. Give me my opportunity to bless God and encourage God and worship God in a way that you cannot imagine the joy that it brings into your heart. You can't do it on your own.
Amen.
The tithe, when I started it, I could not do it in and of my own self. I love the Lord. And the only way, or one of the most powerful ways, to show my love to the Lord is give something that is precious to me. And money in this world is precious to every one of us, whether we want to admit it or not.
Good, Russ. Praise God. Yes. We're getting into the wisdom. We'll be getting into the wisdom of money. Gary Steele shared something with me that was real powerful last week. He brought up that he's going through a real hard time right now financially. He looks back and realizes when God purposed in his heart to bless Gary for the time that he's going through right now. Remember you sharing that with me, Gary? You want to say something about it, or? Or do you want me to go ahead and say it? And you know what he said? He turned to me and said, you know why I'm not walking in the full blessing of what God already prepared? He said, because of my stupid stewardship. People don't know how to plug into the wisdom of God. You know what? God was probably an answer for your hard times even before they come. You just didn't recognize it. And then when the hard times come, you already stewarded away the blessing that God had prepared for you for the hard time. What? That's the nature of God. Remember the nation of Israel? There was going to be a drought. What God prepared for the whole nation through one man to preserve it. Go ahead.
Well, my testimony is like on attitude, and he was talking about your attitude. Your attitude will cut you off from how God wants to use you to be a blessing. And so if you have an attitude toward tithing, you're cutting yourself off from God being able to use you to be a blessing, besides him blessing you back, because he'll bless you all the way around. And what happened to me was that I had an attitude toward a patient I got, and it was the end of the day, and sometimes you see a lot of pain and suffering, you just want to cut it off, and you just want to say, I don't want to see anymore. And she'd been sick for a couple weeks in the hospital. She'd had a biopsy of her kidney, she'd had a biopsy of her liver, she'd had all these pains and pokes and stuff, and she came down with her mother, and now she was going to get another biopsy. And I just had an attitude toward her. I mean, I had taken to work with me a bracelet I had gotten down in Dallas, and this bracelet, all of us bought it. It was an expensive bracelet, but it's really cool. It said love, hope, faith, and on the side it said God, our God is an all-consuming fire, and on the other side it said the Lord is God, there is no other. It just was a cool bracelet, and it had a little fish, what do you call those, charms on it. You know, I know Alex has been trying to get that bracelet from me, but I wore it to work that day, and I never wear it to work, and I don't want it to get wrecked or anything. And so I had it on that day, and here I am with this attitude with this patient. Well, I didn't let her know I had an attitude. What I do is I just start charting and stuff and just kind of am not, you know, so I don't say anything mean or anything, because sometimes it's, you know, I'm a human being, and sometimes, you know, I'm just being real with you, that sometimes it just gets you. Well, anyway, what happened was we took her in the procedure room and stuff, and she had to get up, and she was having a her lungs drained on both sides, and she was, you know, she's only my age, she's very sick, and she was leaning up, sitting on the edge of the bed, leaning up on the table with her head down on a pillow, and her mother was on the other side, and her mother stayed. And I don't know why, usually we dismiss the parents, and I don't know why the mother just stayed, and they put their heads together, and I looked at them, and I saw a mother with her daughter, and that so touched my heart, it changed that attitude. It was God wanting to, you know, wanting me to be blessed. And, you know, I praise God for my God, you know. But anyway, I changed my attitude, and I looked at them, and I just had this overwhelming compassion. And I found out they were Christians. She got the procedure done, and afterwards, she was taught me about how she's testified through this illness to everyone she can, this young woman who's going through all this pain and suffering. And she's getting better. But I put that bracelet on her wrist. I want you to have this. And it wasn't me. You know, it was God wanted her to have that. That's why the whole thing was set up. And so after she left and everything, and we talked, and it just was really neat, you know. And I thank God, you know, was allowed to just change my attitude. But anyway, what happened is she left, and when she was rolling down the hallway, she said thank you, and she had her wrist up, and she was shaking that bracelet. And her mom stayed behind, and we just held each other, and I was able to speak some words of life into her mom too. And so, I mean, we cut off by our bad attitude, God being able to use us, and that's what we all want. I know we all want that.
Attitude is outside the nature of God. We got to close on this. We got to close on this. I want to share. Sure. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
When I had that vision of Pastor and us holding up our arms, it was Joshua that actually was in the battle, and it was them that was holding up Joshua's arms and not Moses, but he is a Moses to us too. Amen? I love you, Pastor.
Thank you, sweetheart. All right, how many believe a transfer of anointings? God said God wrought special miracles with Paul. Paul had so much anointing of God working in him that it could go into cloths and he would transfer it because there was a shortage of ministers under the anointing. Let me ask you something. How many of you believe that? Let me ask you something. When you take and you take your money or whatever seed you have and you dedicate it to God, how many of you know that there's an anointing that gets on that? And the anointing is transferred to you. I've had people say, I don't want to be around them. People are on money. Do you want this handkerchief that has anointing on it to heal your body? Oh, yes. What difference does it make? God will reap a special miracle on your behalf because of His anointing on the tablets of your heart in your giving. Father, I thank you for today. I know this is a tough subject because money is a tool of the devil when it's used without the heart of Christ applied to it. So, Father, I pray that if anybody has that anointing of the flesh on them, that they put that attitude down and move with the anointing of God that will bless their life back. And not so that ministers have more money to spend, but the kingdom of God can be enhanced as a result of that. Oh, Father, hallelujah. They live by the 90. The church lives by 10. What a wonderful God. So on that, everybody stand up.